It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. After barely surviving a car accident last May, Mark Clayton Southers is back in the director's chair overseeing a production of August Wilson's The Piano Lesson at the August Wilson Center downtown. It's Mr. Southers' third time directing The Piano Lesson, but perhaps his most meaningful. He joins us in studio to talk about his near-death experience, the importance of August Wilson, and how thinking about theater helped him survive his ordeal. Mark Clayton Southers, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. It's great to see you.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Also with us is Mark's wife, Niecy Southers, who was with him, unfortunately, when this accident happened, but fortunately survived pretty much unscathed. Niecy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Good to have you.
Thanks, Paul.
So let's start with what happened last May, Mark. I don't know how much of it, if any of it, you remember, but talk to us about what happened. You were in the midst of a run of Fences, which you were directing at Pittsburgh Playwrights.
Right. Yeah, Fences had just opened, and it was, I guess it was a Sunday. Was it a Monday? I don't know what day it was. But we were on our way to Home Depot, and I had a coughing fit. We had just crossed to Highland Park Bridge, and I initially posted it happened on the bridge, but after I got my senses together, I found out I was in front of the police station coming down Washington Boulevard. I had a coughing fit, and this had happened to me about 30 years ago. Same thing happened, and I pulled over and beat myself on the chest and stopped, and I, like most men, you know, we don't take care of ourselves. I let it go and didn't think nothing of it. But I was coughing, and my wife reached back in the back seat to get some water. And when she came back up, she said my eyes rolled back in my head, and I passed out and went across the lane, I guess, and hit the side of a school bus. Luckily, there was no one on it except for the driver. Yeah. Everything else you'll have to ask her about because I was out.
So then what happened next, Niecy?
Oh, yeah.
I got out. You know, it takes a minute to realize this is a car accident.
Yeah. Right. You're in shock.
You're in shock. And, you know, you see the glass and it's looking like a big spider web. So you realize, okay, this is real. So I got out and went over to try to help him out. And that's when there was nothing I could do to get him out. And there is no sense of powerlessness, Paul, than trying to pull metal off your husband and you cannot move it. So he was talking. He knew that he was messed up, and he was saying so. And then he started talking about he couldn't breathe, and it just was chaotic from then on. But it took a while for them to come and extract him out of the vehicle, and it was a lot going on.
At one point, I heard someone outside of the vehicle say, "Step back, the ground is wet," and I'm like, "Oh boy, I'm about to get roasted here," you know. And then a voice told me, and it was something jumped out of me and was hovering around me, and it said, "Close your eyes and just breathe," you know. And that's what I did. And I heard the jaws of life clamp on, and I don't remember anything else after that. I woke up about 5 weeks later.
Yeah. You were in a coma.
They put me in an induced coma for 2 weeks, I think, to do operations. Well, my wife knows. You got to ask.
So. Yeah, he was in and out of coherency. Like, he could write to us, but he was intubated for quite a while because they had so many surgeries to do, and they didn't want to take this breathing tube out and then have to go put it back in for the next surgery that would happen in a couple of days, and there was going to be some more surgeries after that, you know. So he could not talk to us. So he was writing to us for a while, and then gradually his writing just became illegible, and he just was sort of like just out of it for about a month, in and out of it, and mostly out.
And what was the list of injuries, physical injuries?
Leg, first and foremost. He had bones coming through his leg. He had broken ribs.
They weren't sure they could save the leg. Is that right?
That's right. They told us that you know, a few years back, and he would have been an amputee for sure, but they did what they could do to save his leg. Hip, back, internal bleeding, so they had to open up his abdomen and find where he's bleeding. They explained to his mother and I and our dear sister friend Tanya and a good reverend friend, Reverend Titus, they explained to us where the bleeding could be and what's going to be a result of that. If it's his intestines, he could have a colostomy bag. If it's his liver, I mean, it just was one crazy evening.
And so now here you are, 6 months later, you are wearing a brace and you're moving around in a wheelchair, but you can walk a little bit, which is nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is something that they weren't sure you would be able to do.
Yeah, my surgeon, we went and saw my surgeon a few weeks ago, and he just was amazed that I could walk. You know, and I was asking him all these questions because I have foot drop, which is really getting on my nerves. And
what is that exactly?
It's when your left foot, you can't lift it up.
Okay.
And that keeps you from walking properly. So you can Google it, foot drop. And it's from damage of the tendons.
The nerves.
The nerves. And so, yeah, I am walking with a brace. But the foot drop is something that, you know, hopefully I'll regain that. If not, there is a surgery you can get for it, you know, just kind of involved. Yeah.
So here you are. You were in the middle of this play that was very important to you, Fences. You've done one run through of the August Wilson Century cycle of plays, mm-hmm. and now you've begun. This was the start of the second.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good year. I started out in it was a good year. I started out in Florida at American Stage Theater, and I directed Radio Golf in January. Then I went to Chicago to the Goodman Theater and directed a reading of Jiminy Ocean. And then we did Fences. And I got to see one show, and that was it. And I really missed it and didn't get a chance to see the run of the whole show. But now we're doing the piano lesson. So, you know, it's been working. Three August Wilsons in 1 year so far. So I'm excited about being able to do that and try not to think about the 4 months that I was in the hospital, you know.
It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with Mark Clayton Southers and Niecy Southers, his wife, who is with us here in studio, about Mark's ordeal surviving a very serious car accident back in May and managing to stay involved and direct August Wilson plays, including the latest one at the August Wilson Center, The Piano Lesson. Mark, you were not your own first choice to direct The Piano Lesson.
Right.
Initially, you were strictly going to act in the show.
Right.
But now, even though you have directed The Piano Lesson twice, you are directing it now for the third time. Why is it important for you to direct
the show? I needed something to reach towards. Theater is my second love after my family. And I needed something. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been laid up in the hospital bed day in and day out for months and months and months. I needed something that drives my passion to reach towards. And so I wanted to be more than just a producer. I wanted to be involved. And I knew I wasn't going to be able to be on stage. It was going to be very difficult to adapt to try to be on stage. I wasn't sure whether I was going to even walk again at the point. But I knew at the very least I could be in a wheelchair and I could probably direct it, you know. So that was the idea behind it.
And how did looking forward to directing this help you in your recovery?
Well, I'm going to tell you what got me through my recovery, both mentally, more so mentally than anything, was all the support from the community, my friends in the theater community and family and the visit. I had up to 12 visitors a day. I was at four different facilities, right, Niece? Mm-hmm. I had up to 12, sometimes more than that, but no less than two or three a day, every single day for 4 months. People just kept coming in, and that's what got me through it. That and my Facebook family, you know, and I started writing chronicles about my experiences. People can read about them on my website, markclaytonsouthers.com, under chronicles. I talk about all my experiences. Some are kind of goofy and some are serious, and it's just... That was my release, you know, my therapy, and that's what got me through it, you know.
And sort of gave you a goal to work toward.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
And Niecy, just what was it like for you just to go through this? You know, you've always been supportive of your husband's endeavors, but now, and this is, you know, part of what you sign on for in a marriage, but still, I'm sure it was overwhelming and a really horrific ordeal.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we're faith people. And, you know, his mother and I, we kind of made up a strategy that we are going to enlist prayer warriors who we know without a doubt that no matter what they see in that trauma ICU unit, and no matter what these doctors are coming in here saying, we will have people around him who will say at all times, all is well. And that is what we did without ceasing. All is well.
And now you're back doing the work that you love. And I'm curious about what makes the piano lesson such an extraordinary piece of theater. It's a play that, you know, all of August Wilson's work, there isn't one of them that isn't riveting. But this is a little bit, this one stands out for a lot of people. Explain the importance and the unique nature of the piano lesson.
Well, you know, one of the things that August does is he gives both sides, he's an equal opportunist, monologuist. You know, when, you know, Boy Willie will have his monologue about why he should be able to sell the piano and get some land and be able to build on what his ancestors built on. And Bernice has the same feeling as far as wanting to keep the piano. You know what I mean? It's heritage, you know. It's a family heirloom. You know, it has so much of the history of the family engraved in it. And just having it there in the house is a sense of having family around, you know. So they both have a really good point of view, and the audience will go back and forth. But there's also the element of the supernatural, you know, with Sutter's ghost being present, you know. And this does happen. It might not happen to everybody, but it happens. There's folks out here who believe in the spirit world, you know. And the play is very rich, and August is a great storyteller. So there's a lot of great stories. You know, Wine and Boy tells great stories. Doker tells great stories.
That was the character you were going to play.
I was going to play Doker. Yeah, yeah. And Kevin Brown's playing it beautifully. Yeah, yeah.
And what about the significance of, I mean, you work at Pittsburgh Playwrights, is located downtown.
Right across the street from the August Wilson Center.
And it's a very different venue. Now you're back at the August Wilson Center. Just talk about the importance, the significance of being there, directing an August Wilson play there, and especially a play like The Piano Lesson.
Well, I think, you know, Janice Burley Wilson has been doing marvelous things in the cultural district for the Trust. With the jazz festival, and she brought us downtown. She, you know, convinced Kevin McMahon to back us and bring us downtown to make the transfer. And I think that now that the Trust is doing programming at the center, I think they understand the importance of having August Wilson's work in the space. It's a no-brainer. And we got together and talked about taking it there and bringing it there and possibly doing the entire cycle there again. At the center where we think it belongs. I think it's a destination. People want to come from out of town. We have people coming in from out of town to see the show. So I think it belongs there. It belongs at the center. I think if we want the spirit of August Wilson to live at the center, you know, and manifest itself, it needs to be in the art that's being done there and his images. We need to see more of his images. And we need to have like a little mini museum there of him, you know, of his work. I visited his wife up in Seattle a few years back, and she was going to let us bring his writing desk back to the center, you know. But things were so unstable, you know. It's really difficult trying to exist with an $11 million debt looming over you, you know. I go into the space now, and this tension isn't there anymore, you know. I always used to say it was the equivalent of all the employees having a $3,500 a month car note. That would stress you out. That's how it felt being here with that debt, you know, and now the debt's not there. But it's no longer the faces that I'm used to seeing. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, it has to be just tremendous to be there when I'm guessing even a year ago, you could probably have envisioned something like what's going on there now with the play, and you're directing it, and as you said, the atmosphere.
I could envision it when I was there and when we were having hard times. The problem was that the finances weren't there to do the proper promotional things that needed to be done to get people into seats. And that was it. It came down to money. It wasn't. It didn't have to do with leadership. People keep saying that. It comes down to money. And when you don't have the money, then a leader must make different avenues to get things done and cut here and cut there and cut there. And then the quality diminishes. You know, we had to ask for a lot of favors. You know, Greer Reed and myself and Sean Jones and when we did the different, as artistic directors, when we did the different things there and Cecile Shillman, we had to cut corners and ask for a lot of favors from artists. And sometimes we paid out of our pocket for hotel rooms and for travel. You know, it wasn't nobody's fault. It was the reality that the money wasn't there. But we believed in our passion to get it done, you know. And a lot of people want to point fingers. You got all these people who put stuff in the Post-Gazette and the negative comments and things like that, you know. And, hey, they got the hockey thing going. You got millionaires all in the building. They got the baseball. They got the football. When it comes to the arts, you know, sometimes people just don't step up to the plate. You know what I mean? So we did the best we could with what we had, and I'm not embarrassed about anything that happened. But I am looking forward to the future of, you know, the center, and I think it's going to work out fine without the stress that it had before. Yeah.
What has the reaction been from audiences coming to see this in that space? I want to say 400 seat theater?
486 seats. Yeah.
Okay. So almost 500 seats. So yeah, it's a little different than what you're used to, and maybe a different setting for people in Pittsburgh to see an August Wilson play. So yeah. What do they think? You had one weekend weekend?
Yeah, we had full houses opening night and Saturday night, and we had a smaller house on Sunday evening show. But I've been getting great responses from folks. You know, people really have been enjoying it. There's been a lot of social media buzz about it. We enlisted Steve Tolan to do the special effects, and he's done a marvelous job putting together on Tony Ferrer's wonderful design, his scenic design, and Mark Whitehead's sound design. All these elements are coming together. Randy Kovitz's fight choreography. We've been having meetings with all the people, Bob Steinick's lighting, all the folks in Sherrill Walker's costumes. We have these production meetings that we just really focused on that final scene, and it's coming together. You know, it's a lot of special effects, and it's a fun piece to see, you know. I don't think people have seen it done this way before. Yeah.
And you came from there was a special showing, in fact, it might just be wrapping up now, where school kids were brought in to see this. Do the kids get the significance? I'm sure they hear, you know, about August Wilson, that he, you know, grew up right here in Pittsburgh and he's this great playwright. But do kids understand the importance of his work, of his message, and of the example that he set as a tenacious worker and just a diligent and determined writer?
I think it's coming. I think some do. Some of the quiet kids who won't speak up, the ones that really study and Google things. I spoke to the kids prior to today's 10 a.m. matinee, and they didn't have a whole lot of questions. You know, one kid asked me, what player are we seeing today? You know, and I said, you need to go get back on the school bus. Going back. But that's the reality. I mean, that's it happened. They're kids. You know, we can't expect them to all rise to the challenge that we have to present. So what I did prior to the show is I brought all the teachers up on stage. It's about 14 teachers. I let them introduce themselves, talk about what school they were from and what they teach, you know. And it was great to see them celebrate. I said, hey, I think teachers are just as important, or if not more important, than doctors. I said, and we need to raise them up on the level they need to be raised up on. I said, hey,
who teaches you just went through.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who teaches the doctors? Teachers have to teach the doctors. Now, I mean that not in the sense to say that they're more important as far as saving lives, but incubating us and getting us on the right path. And I think it's wonderful that these teachers brought these students to come see August Wilson play.
Well, it's exciting that this is happening, and it's happening at the August Wilson Center, and you are here in the flesh, and you know, directing this. It's just so good to see you, and I'm glad that you've made it through this ordeal. And August Wilson's The Piano Lesson, directed by Mark Clayton Southers, our guest, is continuing all this weekend. through the 21st, which is Saturday at the August Wilson Center. So, Mark Clayton Southers, very quickly, we're just about out of time.
I just want to say it's featuring Wally Jamal, who's doing a great job. And Eugene Lee is going to be filling in for the rest of the week playing Avery.
Okay, well, we know about Wally Jamal. He's one of Pittsburgh's great actors. And you are certainly one of the great actors and directors. Mark Clayton Southers, again, thank you for being with us. And Niecy Southers, thank you. Good to see you. Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. You bet. Our pleasure. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We'll see you again tomorrow. So long for now.